Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got Magnum Condoms, religious family, and sexual experimentation. Check it out, enjoy, share with friends. Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I'm going to say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep spreading the word. That's how it works. You listen to the show. You tell a friend. They tell a friend, and then we rise those iTunes charts to reign supreme. That's what I want. And here's the best way to help out. You make it your Instagram story right now. You take a screenshot, you tag me, I'll send you a little heart, and don't do the thing. If I could be a little judgy.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Shelby. I say make your Instagram stories because it's an invasive way to be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And someone can go, oh, what's that? You tag me. They'll look at my page. Oh, it's a comedian, has a podcast. Oh, put the cheese out and we'll let the mouse go to the trap.
You know, you could do extra if you're a Super Feather fan.
Okay. Super Feather fan. What do you got?
This is like a really funny part, really informative part. Do a screen record. Throw that up on
there. Oh, that's really going above and beyond.
You don't have to. We understand. That's a whole chore.
This is funny you should say that, Shelby, because what you're saying is on point with where I was going.
Oh.
Because you do the screen record of a 15-second bit of this podcast that you laughed out loud at, LOL. Then that's a helpful thing to do. Oh, that's laying cheese, that's putting down a piece of cheese on the ground with turkey on it. That's mm-hmm. That's an extra thing.
Right.
You put the screenshot with my handle. That's a piece of cheese. You do the screen record. That's a piece of cheese with turkey. Now you're really attracting the mice.
I might screen record myself saying to screen record.
Meta is all shit.
Yeah.
That's Inception. But what I'm saying is you can also take away from the cheese. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people are doing, they're writing, I'm just doing what Jared told me to do. That negates.
Makes you seem
the
like,
whole thing.
Like an asshole.
Yeah. You've thrown me under the bus because you are not confident enough to just put the screenshot up. I'd rather no screenshot at all if you're going to write, this is what Jared told me to do.
It's like, he told me to apologize to you.
Yeah, that's the same thing. If I had a child and I said, and yes, you are my children. All of you are special and individual children of mine as listeners. I consider you that. How awkward would that be if I had like a show and someone was like, hey, I'm a big fan. Just want to say what's up. And I was like, hey, man, thanks for listening. And then someone else came. I was like, who's this? I go, one of my children. That'd be weird. I don't know. And so, but if I said to my child, I go apologize to that person. And then my child went up to that person and went, my dad told me I had to apologize. I go, and then he came back and goes, I apologize. I go, no, you fucking didn't.
Damn it, Nathan. Get in
Nathan,
the car.
Nathan, get soccer. The fuck in the car. You're getting beaten. Take out the fucking belt.
Jackson 5 style.
That's right. So listen, I get why you do it. It's a tough thing to do to put yourself out there. But I'd say this to you. I stand by the product. Shelby, do you stand by the product?
Wholeheartedly.
There we go. Look at that excitement in his voice. Okay? You can feel it from Shelby. You can feel it from me. So if you want to help out the show, and listen, I'm also here to say, don't do it too. I'd rather you not do it than, well, Jared, I did what you told me. No one gets that inside joke. We're doing this for the people that don't know about it. I love starting an episode with yelling at you for how you've tried to help me.
They're all on notice.
On now notice.
Let's get to some laughs.
Let's do the laughs. Let's get to the guest. I'm very excited. Today's guest, an old friend, super funny comic. I can't believe you haven't been on yet.
No, never, ever.
This is crazy.
This is something we've never had to deal with.
Nothing.
In the history of this show.
Never in the history. Who is that?
That's Big Chris H.
Who's Chris H?
Chris Harrison.
Oh, this is
Chris Harrison, the
godfather of fix-ups.
Of fix-ups?
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Oh.
This is the most dramatic episode in the history of J Train Podcast. Eric Bergstrom, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. So funny. I'm embarrassed that you haven't been on the show.
Oh, I'm embarrassed too. Let's build this trap.
That's right. Let's build this trap. For our children. All of you should go follow Eric Bergstrom at Eric Bergstrom Rad on Instagram at Eric_Bergstrom. He is here because he has an album that is out right now. It's on Apple Music. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitch. I don't know if it goes on that. Stitcher?
It's going on everything. Everything. It's going to be in your fridge.
And not only is it going to be in your fridge, but we're going to put a track at the end of this podcast so that you can give you a little nibble.
A nibble for the boys and girls of America, which you are.
That's right.
Fair.
And it's called...
I don't know what I'm saying.
And it's called Serious Goose.
Yeah, the opposite of a silly goose.
Is a serious goose.
Is a serious goose.
And you've done Colbert.
I have.
Where did you do the album? I like hearing the story of the album. People come on and talk about their album. And I always say to people who listen to the podcast, podcasts are its own listening experience, and they're kind of cousins to the listening experience of someone's album, a comedy album. Because a comedy album, it kind of feels like you're in the room, you hear the laughter, you hear the crowd, and it's as if you're hiding in the actual taping.
Yeah, it's always a live performance.
Yeah.
It's, I can't think of, other than, was it one?
It's like a concert DVD or a concert CD.
Who's that guy who did the all the radio, what is it? He did all the phone call jokes.
Bob
Newhart. That's the only not live comedy album I can think of.
So what did he do? I don't know. I'm not familiar.
They were just like short little sketches of him talking on the phone to himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was his comedy album.
That was his like big debut comedy album.
Really?
Where he got, I guess he like befriended Don Rickles after that. Like a really opposite fun duo. They'd go on vacation with their wives constantly.
Well, I
like that duo, though.
I like that duo. Got to be a fun brunch.
A lot of dry and a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
Good combo.
I like it. So where did you tape the album?
I taped it at the Cutting Room in Manhattan.
Love the Cutting Room. That's like a music venue.
A music venue. It was two nights there, early to mid-July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Sean Donnelly hosted?
A friend of the pod, a fop.
And then Phoebe Robinson opened for each show.
Great.
And I had a fantastic time each night.
And you cut up the album, you put it together, and now it's out there.
Yeah, cut it up, put out there. It was a fun process of cutting it up because I wanted to... Like, there's some crowd work in there that I had a lot of fun with that kind of pieced together
now,
nicely.
Now, for the audience at home, crowd work is talking to the crowd and getting
excited. Yeah, it is our work, which is talking to a crowd. It was just fun. It was weird.
Good.
It was fun because there were, like, weird moments that I didn't expect to happen.
Oh, okay. And that's fun in an album. That's why the comedy album is a little different. It's, you have this planned experience. You're in the room for this planned night, and then you're going to feel what happens along the way. How does a crowd react to the jokes? Which ones did they love? Did you in the car think a joke was, like, great, and you're like, wait a minute, it didn't connect... I'm laughing at a different part that they're laughing at. It's just the live experience and then listening at home, the live experience, I think is an interesting thing.
Yeah, no, it's weird because sometimes there are one-liners that like, because I do like some one-liners and then some anecdotes. And sometimes it'll be like something that kills everywhere would do like week one night, kill the other night, and that's why doing two recordings or more is good, because you can splice it. And like crowd work wise, it was, I don't know, that's like just one of those weird, like, an audience, like, just making weird connections that would not have existed otherwise. Like,
and you get to witness it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, listen, I'll let you guys behind the curtains. Eric Bergstrom and I, we used to go around doing open mics together.
They were a blast.
A blast. And oh, Bergstrom, I just remember, had every open mic had a... the
like a little notepad or a clipboard.
A clipboard.
Like a camp counselor.
Yeah, you always had the clipboard. And I always respected it because it was like, I was always thinking like, you know, some people you'd see at open mics and you weren't sure what the goal was for them. You were like to me, I'll be like, they just went up to go up to have a microphone in their hand.
Yeah.
This feels like more like $5 therapy than it is an actual,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but
there is some of that.
But it was interesting because you were one of those people that you would be like, every day, it was just like a hundred new.
Yeah, I was writing. I was writing 100 one-liners at the time, and that happened. I did that for years. I'm trying to do that again. I was sick for a while, but like I'm getting back into things, and I would really just test out what I thought was strongest, and it was like a weird mixture of. Like, sometimes I'd put things on Twitter and kind of have an idea of what would get on stage, and then I had a gut feeling of, like, which jokes I liked that I'd try out. But then on stage, like, open mics are weird, for one, because it's all a bunch of young comics not knowing what they're doing. They're all, like, when you start out, you're not good.
Yeah.
And it's like entering this classroom where you're teaching each other. There's no teacher who's good at it. You're just trying to hodgepodge it together with a bunch of jackasses that think came here and are living horribly and think that they have something. And then after a number of years, some of us get better and stick around.
Yeah, and keep going with it and figure out. Like, but I always, when I saw you with the clipboard, I was like, this is someone that is working. Like you've put down, like I always thought it was like, because I was someone that was like more like, okay, I'm going to put these notes down. I hope the note grows into something bigger that I could talk about. Like I want to like do like I want my jokes to be like 4-minute ranty style of like a comedy. That was kind of something that spoke to me. But then it was like, oh, this is like, okay, joke one, joke two. Like, I went home and wrote these, fashioned these. And it's like, that is a, like, to me, it's like, it felt like you were going to the office.
Yeah, no, there's
which a lot of people weren't doing. Like, and especially, like, if you were, like, especially for me, like, you could see someone who's, like, doing the ranty version who just, that was all they did. There, and it wasn't going to grow.
There were some people that were just good at, I mean, I remember some comics just being good at open mics, at crowd work, specifically.
Two open micers.
And it's like, kudos to them for having some crowd work skills, but like
I don't know where this gets you.
Exactly. It doesn't relate to other people, especially, this was probably like 10 years ago, so 10, 7 years ago, somewhere in there. I mean, the scene is always changing.
Yeah.
There's always an influx of new people. And I, you know what? I used to have a lot more like one-liners, and now I realize eventually I had to like mix them up to, well, like, if I want to do a larger span of time and not seem like a click, click, click robot.
That was the cool thing about it, is that then I saw, you know, then you kind of, as you move out of open mics or as you get, you know, kind of go on your different paths or whatever, I would see, we got together and you did your half hour.
Yeah.
When we went to, you know, Western Mass.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
Fun.
I was preparing for the Comedy Central half hour, and like they, thanks for having me. That was a blast.
But it was great because I was like, oh, these now go together. There's like chunks.
Yeah, it's like
came out of the one-liners.
It's a weird. After years of doing that, it's like a nebula of things, and then like citing, like, oh, these are all about dating. These are all about drinking. These are all about sex or funerals, and then just pulling them together into different clumps, and then they kind of link together.
Yeah, so it didn't feel like the clipboard.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's something to the randomness, like, of the rotation of jokes of telling them. But one, if you do things, eventually doing things random long enough is a pattern in itself, and well, people get bored of that.
Sure, but I think, like, what is interesting to anyone listening right now is, like, if you're trying something out and if you're working towards something, like, you have to keep in mind the organization of it. Like,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
were sitting there, like, you know, you doing open mics with the clipboard, and then you, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, I got this whole bag of tricks now.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to do a half hour for Comedy Central, and it goes together, and it's now I have a whole act that I've been doing little by little and placing on top of each other, and now it's a full-fledged, fully breathing thing.
That's a weird thing about... Yeah, because I actually did have to pull it together, and that was a form of work that I, in hindsight, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Going through it, I had no idea it was, I didn't know what I was doing.
Sure, but now,
but like, it kind of was like, it was real work to sit down and sift through everything
yeah.
and make it stick together. Like, I was going through some of my old notebooks, I was going through... Like, you can download your Twitter archive, and I was doing keyword searches
yeah, I've
through
done
there.
That before.
I've just to that. Gather things together, and it never, like, but once in a while, I'll find something that I liked, but like.
But it's that old thing of, like, it never makes, the dots only connect looking backwards.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's, but, you know, from, like, my point of view, I was like, this guy's, like, doing shit. You know, like,
oh, thank you.
That was always my thought with the clipboard and the one-liners, and I was like, that is pure writing. You know, there's just like you say, you see the open mic guy that's just doing the crowd work. It's the pure, what was that? I heard a little buzz. No, it's a pure, like, okay, these will go together as a big chunk of things. But it's, all of you guys should go check out the album.
Oh, thank you.
Do you hear that? I keep, no?
I don't know if I hear anything. No, I hear things in my headphones. A buzz? What kind of buzz are you hearing?
No, maybe it was just me. Maybe they're my own thoughts.
Are your thoughts buzzes?
Go check out the album. Serious Goose, Eric Bergstrom, @ Eric Bergstrom, rad on Instagram, @ Eric _Bergstrom. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Sure, I'd love to.
So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Let's do it. I'm hearing it again. No?
Is your thing plugged in?
Maybe I'm getting feedback from the thing. All right, we'll go.
Emails. Now, these are romantic emails or all over the board?
All over the board. These are sent by listeners. They're looking for advice.
Okay. And I know you pretty well, and you're... Oh, you know what? Okay, so my album was going to come out... My girlfriend and her friends, big fans of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
This is very nice to hear. This is, the crowd loves it. Jared, I'm an OG listener of the U Up Pod, but felt this question was better suited for the J Train podcast, which I've, of course, rated, reviewed, and subscribed to also. Thank you. I'll cut to the chase. I just started graduate school, and I am a TA for undergrad poli-sci lecture. I'm only 23, basically just graduate college myself, so I've taken on a chill type of demeanor with my classes. I feel like I know where this is going. One of my students had started coming to office hours a lot just to shoot the shit, and also began emailing me jokes during the main lecture about the professor and the other kids in the class. Uh-oh. Fast forward a bit, and we somehow got to exchanging numbers.
Yeah,
somehow.
Yeah.
The problem with this is now there's a paper trail. The
sending them jokes via email, is that what happened?
Yeah, and also there's a lot of what the things that we've created. There's a lot of there's a minefield that's been created, right?
Well, I mean, are they?
Well, because now it's like, okay, you got the emails that say, you know, this fucking loser in the front. We got the professor talks like an idiot, and it's like I know his moves are great because he's throwing everyone under the bus to be funny with this girl.
Yeah.
So he's trying to flirt with her. For her, it's kind of tough. Fast forward a bit.
Is that the end of the email?
No, fast forward a bit.
Okay, what you worried about?
And somehow got to exchanging numbers. Now we are on a texting basis, and we text various times of day, evening, not daily, both about the class and not. I'm worried I'm in too deep. What do I do? Thanks for the help. Keep up the great pods. What do we think?
Well, I think she has to have sex with him.
Has to blow him.
Has to. That's the only way to solve
this. The only way to solve this.
That's the only reason he went to school.
Yeah, this is why he... Teacher. Well, what do you think? Like, I mean, she's in a tough position.
Professionally,
she's 23, so she's like, you know, this kid could be 20, 21. You know, you don't... I mean... They're obviously connecting in some sort of way.
Well, there's a thing where, I mean, one, what does she want out of this? Does she like him? Like, the class isn't going to last forever.
I know, and she hasn't really stated what she wants out of this, but just by virtue of asking, she's entertaining something, right?
Yeah, and let's see, now it's November.
We're almost at the end of the semester.
But this kid is still going to be an undergrad or whatever.
I don't think it matters that he's an undergrad and she's 23.
They're pretty close in age.
I don't think there's like a professional issue. I think the fact that he's in the class, you can get in a position where like someone could find out. It becomes the rumor of the class that you guys are together. He gets an A when maybe he's on the edge for a B. And then it gets blamed on you as opposed to the reality. You know, I'm trying to go down worst case scenarios.
I remember when I was in college, there was a teacher who, there was this girl who would do no work and then but the teacher and her would go out to concerts all the time. And somehow she just was never kicked out of the class or anything like that. So it's like, that's a far thing. But like, I don't know, should she just ignore him?
I don't think ignore. I think you can be playful with some. You can have. You can be naive enough to. I think right now where she is, I think get away from having this happen over text.
He's clearly flirting with her, though.
Clearly flirting. I think she has to decide: am I enjoying this or not?
Yeah, that has to be decided. And she has to be like then. I mean, is it unprofessional?
I think it's unprofessional if the relationship goes further than somewhat friendship from here.
Until after class.
Right now, it's a friendship.
Yeah, but like...
Right now, no one's hooked up with anyone. No one has made any promises. They are texting. But what you notice in all these scandals is that they all come back to the text and the written word.
Yeah, the trail where...
That's the trail. And I'm not saying she's even in a scandal. I'm saying that she's in a situation where they're on the doorstep of scandal.
Yeah, because if they have the text... They have all the evidence, but none of the tone.
Exactly.
It's just like a mean statement without seeing somebody smirk in the corner about how funny it is. Like,
sure. If she wants to date this guy or hypothetically see where this could go, my advice to her is keep it where it is until the end of the semester.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
then at that point, you can go and, hey, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to a bar. Come meet up.
And if she's a TA, does that mean that... Is she the one there lecturing instead of the teacher? Is the teacher there lecturing also? Okay, if they're making fun of the teacher.
I've been in situations where the TA teaches a class and then there's the main class with the professor.
Yeah.
And then I've been in situations where there's just TAs that are there for office hours if you need help with the class.
Yeah.
I think both can occur.
So I think, because that's a tricky thing, where if she's the teacher of the class, she's like the professor and that gets... A little dicier.
The talking shit about the professor is the problem. I mean, like, and now that it's moved to text, I think is a little more safe, but you're over a server that might be, you know, the school server. And I would say to her, listen, be nice and pleasant until the end of the semester. If at the end of the semester you have some sort of feeling for him, I don't think there's a problem with saying, hey, come meet me out for a drink. I'm going to have a beer.
Yeah, and she should live her life until then. I mean, not hold out for this guy. That'd be weird. But her being a TA, it's different than her being a professor and flirting with a student. She's doing fine.
I think she's fine. I think right now you're on the doorstep. Give it the semester. Be playful and fun and nice as a friend would be. And then the only... You put fire under... Because also, you don't want to be... the punchline to this guy's story. You don't want to be this guy to come home to his fraternity house and go, I'm fucking the TA. You know, like to get, you know, I'm sure he's nicer than that, but like,
yeah,
you have to think in worst case scenarios for situations where you're walking a tightrope. So let's talk about falling off the tightrope is that this guy isn't all that great a dude and he's now bragging about this. It gets around. Right now, you can just be pleasant and nice as a friend would be. And then when the semester ends, if you as someone was like, I kind of interested in this guy, tell him you're out in the town having a beer. Come meet up.
Do you think she should be clearer at all about like, hey, right now I'm your TA. We got to step back the making fun of the professor until this is done.
I think if someone makes fun of someone over you to text, you can just not acknowledge it.
And then that's...
Let it bomb.
Okay.
You know, like, just don't even respond
to it. It's like that. It's like not responding to any text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, let it bomb.
And they'll still see each other, so she has an opportunity to still, like, just be because nice.
And just because he texts it doesn't mean that she believes it.
Yeah.
You know, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com here with Eric Bergstrom.
Howdy.
Eric Bergstrom Rad on Instagram. Serious Goose. That's the album. Go get it. Get involved. So funny. Magnum Condoms.
They are condoms.
J Train, Feather. Let's get to it. Hope you and your guests can help me navigate a weird condom situation. I've been casually seeing this guy for a few weeks. He's 30. I'm 25. The first time we had sex, he didn't have condoms, so he used one of mine. Trojan Bearskins are my go-to. I like those too. Next time I was over, he pulled out a Magnum. I didn't say anything, but I was immediately confused. I love that. What are you doing with that?
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, is there a huge factual size difference?
I mean, there's a difference between the size of condoms. I think you can use a Magnum even if you're not Magnum sized.
Yeah.
It's kind of like wearing your older brother's sweatshirt. I mean, it works.
Wearing your older brother's condom, yeah.
Yeah, it works, but you might be warm, but you look a little ridiculous. I think it's funny that, what are you doing with that? Well, I'm a Magnum. Oh, I don't think you are, sir.
Yeah, that's...
I'm confused. What are you doing?
Where should go from there after confusion?
I've never been with someone who has had to use those. He's not small by any means, but definitely average. I love the thought that in his mind, he's a Magnum, but he's not in reality.
Not small by any means, but definitely average.
It seemed to work fine, but it's not like I closely inspected it. I'm kind of paranoid that they are too big and could not be working properly, but I can't think of any way to bring up the topic without hurting his ego. Appreciate any advice in a tricky situation. I understand her question is perfect. I love this email. It's so funny that...
I mean, the bearskin condom worked fine, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I don't know I don't know the health implications of this. I don't know if a too big a condom can not work or work.
Well, it could slip off.
It could slip off. I think, have you ever used a Magnum?
Yeah, no, I do.
You use them?
I do.
Really?
I don't, this is uncomfortable. But yeah, and they are...
You have to use a Magnum. There we go.
But I know, because I used to steal condoms from my dad's drawer in high school, and they're too small.
What a revelation.
Every argument after realizing that has been
you just smirk
a blessing.
Yeah.
A real blessing.
You get in a fight and you just go, I know.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's not like Gargan. I mean, it's not like the double Magnums or anything like that. It's
that
just...
That exists?
Yeah, come on, we're in Harlem. You go out there, don't you?
I've been out there.
you look behind the bodega guy. Bodega. I live down in Crown Heights. Bodega. They sell Lucy cigarettes, but they also sell Lucy Magnum condoms.
Really?
Yeah. Don't trust
the Lucy industry in certain parts of town in this city is crazy.
It is
Lucy for those listening at home. Is that you can just get a single one of a pack.
Yeah, of a cigarette. I'm not worried about a hole being poked in a cigarette.
You can go buy a single cigarette at a bodega here in New York. You can go buy a single condom at a bodega here in Harlem. You can go buy single beers. Like Lucy Beers. Yeah. And Lucy's just a term here.
But then again, I live by a middle school where all the kids are taller than me. So, like, maybe they just go, I don't know. I don't know if they have cash. They need to go get a condom and go have sex. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to
listen. All the kids are like
do.
Giants. Kids are getting huge nowadays.
They're getting big. I would say to her, the way to bring it up is through your condoms that he's using. So the discussion starts where you're hooking up and then you touch a penis and then you're like, do you need a condom? And then he pulls out his own. And then I would have the conversation right there and then.
What if she...
I know that kind of... I think when you... The ego isn't as bruised when you're in the game already.
What?
Right?
I agree. But what if she insisted on using the brand that she likes and seeing how... Just gauging how he reacts. Because if he says, like, I have to... Because he hasn't said that he has to use them. He used the kind that she liked before,
but
right?
But that's what she's so nervous about. She's like, I gave you the condom that I like. It worked. It fit you.
Yeah.
Then we go to your place, and you're going to play this fucked up game of, I'm a big boy now, and I need bigger condoms than I actually need because I got to fucking up my ego or some shit. And so, you know, like a lot of people, I knew a guy, there's guys out there that carry around Magnums just for the idea that they've now placed
to show off,
to show they've seen the Magnum. So what I see is what it is. And it's like, it's almost like a trick. I think that what this guy is doing is kind of like, yeah, if she sees I use a Magnum, then I am Magnum.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't really need them. Like for you who uses these Magnum condoms, you have said, these are too small for me.
Yeah, yeah. But that's one time I was on the subway platform and I saw like there were a bunch of like actually very attractive like business ladies on the platform and like this teenage kid came by and like fake dropped some Magnum condoms in front of them. It was
oops.
It was not done gracefully.
Oops, but how did all these Magnums
and
Astroglide get out here?
Ladies, I'm a sensitive listener too.
how did all these Danielle Steele books get out here?
That's I just don't know. I really think that she needs to say that she likes the condom she has more.
Make it a personal preference thing.
Make it a preference
thing. Hey, last time we had sex, you used the condoms you use. Can we use these other ones? They feel better for me.
They feel better for her.
That's
interesting. And then if he argues he has to use these Magnum condoms, just...
I like that. I like that approach.
Then you could see what direction it goes, but also... If she really does like the other ones, maybe they have a Magnum
version of that.
It just gets the conversation going in a way that I don't think would offend him.
But listen, I will say this. I have put on, like, I got this jacket. I put on this jacket. I was like, oh, this jacket fits great. And then I went home and my mom was like, the jacket looks a little small. And I'm like, I think this, like, in my mind, this fits fucking great. And I was like, you're wrong. And then I'm asking everyone about the fucking jacket. Do you think it looks small? Do you think this?
Oh, like, it gets in your head.
It gets in your head. So I think going based on that, he could come back and be like, this is what I fucking wear. I don't know. I agree. I think the way to go is this feels comfortable for me. Put things in you terms.
Yeah, yeah. That's, what is it? That's classic I statements using that. That's very safe for like a dog.
Safe.
An emotional dialogue like that.
And then if he says, well, I use Magnums, you go, do you need those? And then you go, I think so, but you used the other one before and it worked.
Yeah.
Because now you have this like case that you've built.
Yeah,
you used the other ones and it worked. How come you need Magnums?
Were the other ones uncomfortable and he didn't
now you say ask
anything?
Now you get to ask questions.
Yeah.
So, and I listen, if this hurts his ego so much that he can't have sex with you, it's probably not the right relationship anyways.
Oh, it's the ideal return. No.
Like, what's it going to be when you tell him that, you know, he's, you know, when you're like, well, we can't go away to Mexico this year? I use Magnum condoms.
Exactly. You know, like, exactly.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Listen, people, we're sponsored. I love this sponsor because of the time of year we are in. It's gift-giving time, and this sponsor is a fantastic gift, okay? Listen, I'm going to talk about it. It's Homesick Candles. Homesick Candles, I love it. I have three of them in my apartment right now. Listen, the candles are great. Candles in general are great. But what these Homesick Candles are, they're to send someone that you've had a memory with. If you went to camp with someone, if you went on a trip with someone, if your family's from a certain state but they had to move out of state, if you're from, they do cities and states and holidays. It's the design is clean. And these Homesick Candles I have out, and every time someone comes over, they make a comment about them. Eric walked in.
So good.
That's right. That's Jamie Lee.
Headphoneless Jamie Lee.
Headphoneless Jamie Lee. Shelby will never forget. I'll say this. Every time Eric walked in, he goes, Maine? Why do you have Maine? I go, and it started a whole conversation. And this is what I love about Homesick Candle. It's a perfect groomsman gift, bachelorette gift, stocking stuffer, Hanukkah gift. It's a great night one Hanukkah gift. It really makes you, what it does is it says to someone, oh, they remembered this experience they had with me. And it's a personalized gift without it getting too out of control. I just think it's, what a great idea, great design, great holiday gift. Here's what I'm going to do. My listeners who go to homesick.com, use promo JTrain, will receive 10% off any order over $50 and get free shipping. That's any order over $50. You're going to get 10% off and free shipping with code JTrain. Homesick.com. Promo JTrain, homesick.com, promo JTrain. It's a great deal, 10% off and free shipping. That's a deal, baby. Amazing offer. Most popular state and city candles won't last long. They only have limited supplies. So if you're from a place that everyone wants to send one from, I have a New York City candle, I have a Massachusetts candle, I got a Maine one. It's just, I really do believe that every time I look at it, I go, that's where I'm from. And I like that. Homesick.com, promo JTrain, 10% off and free shipping. Just visit homesick.com. Homesick.com, promo JTrain. Find a personal gift for your whole list today. Love that sponsor.
Here smells with, so good.
That's right, Jamie Lee.
You ever see somebody when they have the, was it like a state silhouette tattoo?
Yeah.
I kind of like
it. It kind of looks like that a little
bit.
It
looks like that. These have the I like it because they have the silhouettes on them, and I like it when people have those tattoos because it is, I don't know, I always find it endearing.
Yeah, I totally agree. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Eric Bergstrom, @ Eric Bergstrom Rad on Instagram. The album, Serious Goose.
It is a serious goose, not a silly goose. Very serious.
I like this. I've been dating someone for several years on and off. He comes from an Orthodox Jewish background, and I, too, am religious, though not from some sort of from same sort of family. We seem to be the perfect match. We've gone from spending months together at a time, have traveled the world, have couple friends, see each other daily, etc. Every time I've ever brought up getting engaged or married, he gets nervous, shuts down, and claims he wants to create his own identity with his family business first. Doesn't know what he wants to do yet and can't make any big decisions until other things are decided. I then go cold turkey for 2 to 3 months. He comes back. We attach to each other and do this whole thing over again. I want to be more serious in the relationship and not sure how to handle it. All my friends need to say I need to stop wasting my time, but I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt, thinking he will come around as we are already so familiar, intertwined in each other's lives, and have an incredible relationship. What's the move from a guy's perspective? I love this email. She said she was at the Comedy Cellar last night, reminded me to write you. What do you think?
I think that taking 2 to 3 months off, alternating between that and jumping right for marriage, those are big extremes.
They're both from religious families, so I could understand where she's like, this is it. This is what we do.
Is she she's also religious. Yeah, are they of the same religion, but she's not as religious? Or?
She writes several years on and off. Several years on and off. He comes from an Orthodox Jewish background, and I too am religious, though not from the same sort of family. So I'm assuming that
different religion.
No. Same religion, different not degrees Orthodox of Jewish. Judaism.
Okay.
So like, I would think that he's Orthodox and she's modern Orthodox is what I would think, or conservative. Modern Orthodox is basically, or for those at home, Orthodox is like the most religious of Jews, and then modern Orthodox is kind of like their Orthodox a la carte.
Okay, yeah.
That she probably hates that definition, but I've dated modern Orthodox girls, and it's always been like, you know, we do this, but we don't do this. We know, you know, they pick and choose a little bit.
They
and
don't then do the light switch thing and all that.
Or someone does the light switch for them.
I see.
And then, or maybe Saturdays is more of like less about going to temple, more about, you know, doing just being with family. Where they, you know, they don't necessarily, you know, they're not walking with the book and reading the prayers. They're just living the lifestyle of an Orthodox person. And then there's conservative, which is like, you know, I think even way down the rung a little bit, but like, you know, goes to temple on high holidays, you know, and then there's reformed and all that stuff. So, but I think that she's saying, listen, we have so much in common. I say to him, let's get over the hump of being more serious, and he backs off.
Yeah, here's my fear.
And that's probably when she leaves.
Yeah.
She probably says, well, I have to go find someone.
That's a good move. Yeah. Here's my fear with what she's saying. She brings up marriage. Then yeah. He brings up that he needs to find his own identity with the family business, which means to me that he doesn't see her as potentially becoming part of her family or part of his family.
Interesting.
I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but the family business is one with the family. And he's not seeing her gelling with that.
She writes two different things. The answer, I agree, because the answers are usually in the emails. She writes two different things that are contradictory.
Okay.
So she writes, he claims, and I'm sure, I'm positive that she is quoting him word for word. I'm positive that what she's writing is very on point for what he's telling her.
Yeah.
So she writes, he claims he wants to create his own identity within his family business first, comma, doesn't know what he wants to do yet, comma, and can't make any decisions until other things are decided. To me, that is someone who's not happy working at his family business and is not sure when he's going to leave and do something on his own.
Okay, so...
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But he wants to be with.
And I do think this is a very male thing, and especially a 2018 male thing. You're brought up by people. A lot of people were brought up by maybe the dad was head of household and provided. And now you're 2018 male and you're thinking, man, I can't provide in the same way. I can't see how I will provide in the same way that my dad provided. So he's like, I'm putting away life so that I can keep working towards that goal of being able to provide, and then I'll concentrate on the wife and the marriage and the kids. Because he knows that the minute they get serious, the train has left the station.
Yeah.
And she's not wrong. She has her goals and he can have his goals. Her goals involve, we get married, we have kids, we have second kid, we have third kid, we get suburban house. And at that point, she has to understand he's fucking stuck.
Yeah, he's committing to two paths at one time.
He's saying, okay, if that happens, if I join the train that you're putting up to the station, I also have to commit to this family business that isn't making me happy.
Okay, I could see where you're saying he hasn't found something that makes him happy that can support a family.
Yeah, I think he's not happy working the job he has within the family, and that he's trying to decide, well, where's my out? What's my passion? What will be? Maybe I should start a business. And he's going, if I start a business while I you know, get serious with this girl, that's not going
to
happen.
But what are the chances that he is attracted to her? They're friends, and he's just making excuses.
Those chances exist. The way she puts it makes me think that's not the case here.
Okay.
They
talk daily, but or frequently, but then she takes 2-3 months off. Where
well,
they
because
don't.
He probably she probably says to him like, "Hey, when are we going to get more serious? Do you see this going towards marriage?"
And then he pops back in.
Because
with
she gives
promises.
Up on other, she becks, gives up on other guys.
Yeah,
and then she comes back to him and she says, "Why don't we make this work? If this is so easy with us together, why wouldn't we make this work?" And then he's got cold feet.
Yeah,
I feel for her because I feel for him. I listen. I'm more like him than not. I want comedy to be working out and in as consistent of a way as it can be before I say, oh, I'll take a night off from comedy. Or
yeah.
before I can say, I want to get into the position where I'm promising someone. What you're doing is you're signing someone else up for your dream.
Yeah, you're signing up potentially a new baby to have not the best life that you want to give it.
Yeah.
Which is
so I understand his issue, but I think for her, you got to move on.
Because yeah, that'd get his attention.
Yeah, and it's tough to tell you this, but because I know it seems like the perfect match because of background and
how
and
old
the ta-
are they?
It doesn't even matter to me because their age.
It's just where they are in life.
But the thing is, if he's not happy in what he produces every day, I do think he'll never be happy until he leaves the family business and goes and does what he thinks he should be doing.
But that could just be disapproval of the whole entire family.
Absolutely.
And
also the thing that makes him happy might not be the thing that allows him to have a family for the next 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah, that's
tricky. It's dicey. So and so for her, where her priorities, she says, I want to be more secure in the relationship, not sure how to handle it. My friends need to say I need to stop wasting my time. I think she's wasting her time waiting for him to stop being a pussy and move towards his dreams.
Yeah.
Or
he's being a pussy waiting for that. And I don't want to say she's being a pussy, but she is acting afraid.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I mean pussy in the way that like he either has to decide to commit to he's got to decide on commitment to his family business or creating his own path.
He sounds wishy-washy.
Yeah. Because he's probably afraid of losing the money that he has with his family business and also might not know even what his dreams are. But he thinks, this can't be my dream. I'm living my dad's dream. But he's got to handle that on his own without you.
Yeah.
Because that will never be a happy relationship if he can't be happy with himself.
Well, I hate to be this harsh, but if she was that important to him, he would forge away and make it work. And it sounds like time is passing. And she needs to be clear about that and stick to her guns.
And I think when you go in and out of a relationship for years, she says several years and we go on and off.
Yeah,
he always knows you're there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get used to the pattern of just like accepting that and just falling back. I mean, that might just be an unhealthy relationship in itself.
Absolutely. But also it plays to this guy's character. His character is wishy-washy.
Yeah.
This guy's character is, I'm at my family business, but I don't want to lose the money for my family business. And I want to do my own thing, but I'm too afraid to do my own thing. It's the same thing the way he deals with their relationship. I want to be with you, but then when things get more serious, I'm going to back out because I'm not sure that things will be okay. You know, anytime things might not be okay, he backs out. I know we're going down the road here of making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
But that's the only way we can play the game.
Yeah, she needs to focus on her life, make sure that her career is strong enough.
I wonder if they were there together last night.
Oh, I wonder. I hope he's a fan, he's listening.
He better be. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Eric Bergstrom. Serious Goose. We got another sponsor, people. Oh, I love this sponsor because it's the perfect time of year for them. Harry's. Love Harry's. You know what I love about Harry's? It's really tough to find the right holiday gift. And you know what? With holiday gifts, we get so caught up with these big, you know, the car with the bow and the vacation and the new shoes and the big, you want to do a lot of good jabs. Like the homesick candle, that's a nice jab.
Yeah.
You know, the Harry's is a great gift, and it's something thoughtful that you can do for people in your life that you want to do something thoughtful for. And it's really difficult to find the right thing for that type of person. It's not your girlfriend, but maybe it's, you know, a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a dad, and you're just trying to get that one gift that says, I'm thinking about
you. Yeah, by jab, you mean something heartfelt, personalized for someone that is, I mean, just people.
Yes. I think the
people that are people you care about,
that you don't want to be like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
You know, like, I think Harry's is kind of it fits that perfect gift spot for a boss or a friend or someone, you know, cousins and family member. And, you know, listen, Harry's is a perfect gift because it makes long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price. They have 4.5 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, German engineer blades, practical gift they'll actually use. They'll think about you every time you're using it. Harry's has a limited edition set and special offer. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off of any shave set, including the limited edition holiday sets when you go to harrys.com/jtrain. Listen, these holiday sets are beautiful. You don't even have to wrap them, okay? So it's just a set it and forget it gift. You buy it, you get the holiday set, you get $5 off using harrys.com/jtrain. Plus, you'll get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. So Harry's and I, we matched up. We made a deal for $5 off of any shave set at harrys.com/jtrain. Plus, you get free shipping, and it's for new and returning customers. Each Harry's shave set comes with ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave. Wow. Great gift for dad. Great, great gift for mom. These aren't just for men. They're for women too. German engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide close, comfortable shave. Foaming shave gel that smells delicious for a rich lather. Travel blade cover to protect your blades. A handsome holiday gift box. The gift box, you don't even have to wrap. Or if you just want something for yourself, redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Call to action right now. Get your holiday shopping done early. Listen, it sneaks up on you. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. Go to harrys.com/jtrain to get $5 off a shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/jtrain, harrys.com/jtrain. Listen, they ran out of them last year. It's going to happen again. Shelby, we got time for an email?
We do.
One more email.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hi, really love the show. I'm very certain I found my partner in kink.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
I like this.
I'm in my early 40s. He's in his later 40s. My entire life I've been treated like the Madonna from all my sexual partners when I really want to be a little whore. What is the difference?
What's the difference between Madonna and a little whore?
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
Sure.
But I actually, there's, okay, it's I like, know there's young Madonna like, and older. That's my point.
Is it like, princess-esque like versus
like a virgin Madonna is princess-esque.
I got
she
you.
She put out an S&M book.
What?
In like the 90s. A coffee
Madonna
table,
did?
A coffee table book.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would the meaning of that? I would think treated like a Madonna would be kind of virginal.
Maybe she means like Lady Madonna, the classic.
That's
version.
Right. Yeah. But she really wanted to be treated like a little whore. I'm a petite woman of 115 pounds with a little voice. Then 18 months ago, I met Mr. C. Oh, this is like a BDM. That's right.
Mr. C.
I love how we communicate, and our only deal breaker is that he's over a foot taller than me. We are exclusive. We both rock each other's world. Sex is unreal. He texts me several times a day. This is such a great, healthy relationship. Finally. I love it. Thing is, I've been eagerly open to and brought up sex clubs and swinging. Even a vacation at a swingers resort. I'm finally attracted to women. I'm really attracted to women and honestly like dating men more. Women are just a little more dramatic. Mr. C knows all of this, says he wants this, will crank me up by talking about our future sex club nights and threesomes. It just hasn't happened yet. We both do have busy schedules. It's funny to be like, I want it. I need the threesome. Oh, sorry. I have an appointment at 5.
Got to have my nails done. Yeah. Then off to the fuck parlor. Oh, nails took too long.
Can't do it. But I...
I don't know if you could swear. Can we not swear?
We can swear. We both have busy schedules, but I really hope I'm not missing something or not sexually taken serious again. I found a great club I've been mentioning for over a year now, and he just hasn't said yes. This date hasn't said yes this date and time. Let's do it. I sort of want to sabotage a date night, but if he's not quite ready, we have talked extensively about this, set our rules, and both want this. I don't sense any reason why we haven't. We have great chemistry. Our relationship is getting better every day, and I really don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but also I look great and I want to experience this before serious sagging starts. I'm a little nervous emailing you for advice, but I need a man's perspective. I love this email. She sends a picture. She's beautiful.
Very lovely.
Lovely and
doesn't
great.
Look her age at all.
What do you think? Yeah, she looks young. She looks like she's in her 20s.
Well, I mean, there is the possibility that he really is just into her and is...
and into talking about
and it. Is using the foreplay sweet talk that he knows gets her really horny.
Yeah. I think that's of the options, that's option one.
Now, is she wanting to go to these places to exclusively sleep with women?
It might be that he... So to review option one, it might be that he's just really into the... how sexy it is to talk about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and
he, yeah.
And getting... And to him, moving to the next phase of actually doing isn't as sexy to him.
Yeah, no, sexted with a girl in the past about a threesome with a girl, and that's all that ever happened because she lived in a different state. But it was like, it was sexting, and that's just the direction it went. And then we sexted a few more other times.
Sure.
And that it always just went that direction. Now, he might, I mean, I don't know what his experience is with, like, if they're after an open relationship, it sounds like.
Well,
but
it seems like she wants to go to these clubs, to me. The way I read this is I'm really into this guy. We have a great relationship. A lot of our sexual side of our relationship is talking about this. Now I'm ready to make this happen in a safe and fun way. And I found the club. I've mentioned it. He talks about how he's into it. I want to have a shitter get off the pot moment with this. But here's what she has to be worried about if I were her is if you find out that this is just fun for his imagination and not in real life, are you going to be sexually less into him?
Yeah, it sounds
so
like,
you know that I would be worried if from his perspective. I'd be worried if I personally didn't want to go to these places. The minute I say outright no, the house of cards comes falling down.
Well, she says she wants to be treated like a little whore, and she's being treated like a Madonna. And the way I read that is that he's putting her on a pedestal and trying to fulfill things, and he's not taking action to make this happen, like a guy who is really into it and wants to bang other ladies at a sex club would do. I think he's...
she mentioned the rules, so I'm. It might be that part of the rules is that it's just her with the woman and he's just off in the corner, you know, touching himself.
Oh,
what? Do you know what I mean? Like, it might be that the fantasy is all her fantasy and he's just like, it's just hot that you have a fantasy.
Yeah. But, like, she wants to be a little whore. Swing. Okay. Well, swinging means exchange
this is,
partners.
This is number two on the fears that I would have personally. Is you get to the sex party and it's like you fucking come in 4 seconds and you've ruined the fucking party.
And then it's you have to watch your girlfriend get fucked all night by a bunch of fat dudes who take buffet breaks.
Or by some woman because she says she's into women. You know, like that's,
That's just a bunch of guys by the buffet watching the ladies who have like unlimited stamina night.
You're at the buffet. You know? So I don't know if we can answer the question for her, but we can definitely answer what his fears might be. So I would say to her, You have to have a serious conversation with yourself. If you find out that only the imagination of this is what he can get to, and if you find that out, are you going to be out on him? Then you maybe need to stay in this imagination land. If you're okay with finding out that he doesn't want to do this and you want to push it, I would say to you, go to him, hey, I planned it. I would say, hey, we've talked about this a lot. I want this to happen. I enjoy your company. Whatever you say, I will do. But just know that, like, I'm not just speaking in hypotheticals here.
Yeah, it sounds like she wants him to take charge, but she needs to be clear and maybe has to take charge herself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in kink terms, she might have to train him a little bit to start taking charge, like, if he's not used to it.
Yeah, and also, like, put his thoughts at ease, like his anxieties at ease. Like
he might not have gone to one of these, and
never
she has
been, and she might have read up, and he's just going. He's scared. He could be scared.
Yeah,
and also, like, you know, if he's seen and someone, like, what are the privacy rules? And, you know, there's a whole number of things that, like, me, if a girl was coming at me with these talks too, and why I would feel weird is the same reason he would.
Yeah, and it might get into the reason I, like, I've talked to girls about going to these things, and I am a wuss, and after sex,
yeah,
I fall in love with sometimes the worst women, sometimes the best women, but it's like, oh, we have sex once, I want to date you, and I don't, the idea of watching you get banged by someone else isn't thrilling.
Sure, it doesn't work for me. That's the thing, like, with these kinks and stuff. You're dancing in waters that you have to be sure are comfortable for both parties. And if you're going to be open, you have to be totally open,
yeah,
and also not offended. And the thing I'd be worried about is that this whole dream gets, you find the reality in this dream and it's just not what you guys have built it up to be.
Yeah, sometimes there's foreplay. So, I mean, there's forms of porn that I'll watch that I would never want to, like, participate in real life.
Yeah. I mean, of course. How many times have you shut the computer and gone, what have I done?
Just feel dead inside.
Yeah.
Just dead and dehydrated.
Yeah. Where am I?
Gasping.
Who am I?
Do you know, I hate to bring this up, but, like, you know, John F. O'Donnell?
Yeah.
He has a short, like, a little story about how he was having a threesome where it was him, a dude, and this lady. And he didn't predict how soon he was going to come and how long they'd keep going. So the story's all about him just playing DJ as they fuck sitting there.
Yeah, that's a fear.
Yeah, that's super.
Just like getting out duded or out chicked.
What, you know, if,
like,
I'm inadequate?
Especially if it's the way it sounds, male, female, female. It's like, yeah, what if she comes in with a fucking dildo and is just like, that has no time limit on it. You know, like, and now you're fucking Loserville in the corner.
I mean, this guy's 40-something. What if there's a bunch of 20-year-old, like, bodybuilders with the stamina forever? Like, what are you going
to
do?
I think you have to have an honest conversation. You have to let him know how serious you are about taking it to the next level. And also be unoffended if that's not his dream as well.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Eric Bergstrom, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a blast.
At Eric Bergstrom on... At Eric _ Bergstrom on Twitter. At Eric Bergstrom Rad. On Instagram, Serious Goose.
Serious Goose.
Go check out the album right now. Shelby, we got time for news?
We do.
Let's do it.
Are either of you familiar with the Miss Bum Bum contest?
The Miss Bum Bum contest.
Is it a butt contest?
Yeah. Would be correct.
Okay.
I'm assuming that.
Okay. What is the Miss? How does it go?
Well, it is.
Where is it held? How does it go?
It sounds like a hobo contest, too.
The Miss Bum Bum contest is very famous in Brazil, as they are famous for having a nice ass.
Yeah, okay, nice bum bums. You know?
Brazilians are hot.
They are. Dear God.
Yeah. Crux of the competition is there's a lot of women on stage, as you will see here.
Okay.
Is it oil and twerking, or what is it?
They're on stage. Oh, man. They did not take the swimsuit competition out of this one.
It's basically all swimsuit.
Yeah.
Very less than that.
Sure.
Or a thong suit.
It's great. If I may. And they're all, you know, flanked in the Brazilian flag, and it looks, it's great.
They're all take their turn shaking their ass.
Mm-hmm. God, I love patriotism.
Showing off their ass.
Yep, yep,
displaying
yep.
said ass.
Okay.
But this year's winner.
How do you judge it? It's like the curvature, the movement. Oh, what is? God. What are they judging?
I guess it's got to be some move. Well, I'd say the movement section is like the talent section, and then about me, it's like I don't know why I'm bringing this. If I were to judge this
sure.
thing, I mean size without being truly, truly humongous, and now I sound
yes.
terrible.
Yeah, listen, this, I mean, it's tough to judge a ass competition without sounding terrible.
I mean, it's like if it is Kim Kardashian's ass without being plastic surgery, it's like...
I mean, how'd you do this? Good for you. Yeah.
God bless your genes.
Yeah, so what's going on?
There's some drama at this year's contest.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my.
With 31-year-old model and dancer Ellen Santana winning.
Okay.
And upon... I'll play a video for us here.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the 27-year-old contest runner-up was very furious, said that she had a fake ass that was surgically enhanced
oh.
and ripped the sash off. I'll play you the video here. Very dramatic.
She ripped it off her. So she wins. Okay, she's being hugged. This is her moment. Someone comes up to the stage. Took it off of her and put it on herself. Wow. This is a rumble. Those are some...
Another Steve Harvey mistake.
All right.
Her...
That was some athleticism. She in one swoop.
Is that a rule? It should be all natural? Because I could see that does look a little unnatural.
That does look a little... In one swoop, the girl came up, took the sash off her, and put it on herself. That is a move.
You cannot juice or inflate in these competitions.
You can't juice or inflate.
No, it's gets against the spirit
of the
game.
Yeah, that's against the spirit of the sport.
We will put this link in the description so you can see this heinous act for yourself.
Yes, you can.
This heinous, anus act.
Heinous, anus act. I mean, it's amazing. Both of those asses, I mean, are living in the golden age of ass.
Oh, it's a wonderful age of ass. It yeah. is. But there is something real right now where I think that the surgical alterations, like even just going on Instagram and seeing all of the 19-year-olds or whatever that become like superstar models because they have so much plastic surgery.
Mm.
There's something there that's disturbing.
People have accused Nicki Minaj of it.
Yeah, it's out there. The accusations are out there.
Did anything resolve? Like, did they figure out if it was surgical?
How
did
they even check for that?
I'll inspect.
Well, I'll say
this.
Wait,
is that her?
They
right
drop
there?
A nickel on it.
Yeah, that's
oh.
how you
like
know.
Depending how
yeah.
bunch of bounces.
I will say this. A lot of plastic surgery is happening now for Instagram. For
yeah,
the
no,
camp.
That's...
So like I went and got my teeth cleaned yesterday.
For Instagram.
For Instagram. But when I went, you know, I with some of the, you know, we had the conversation about teeth whitening. And I was like, how do they get it so what? You know, is that what you guys do? We're talking about it. And they were just like, some of those people on the news, that's just a veneer. That's just
yeah.
a shell over, those are porcelain.
Those are scary. They got to like break your teeth to get some of those in, right?
That's the thing. And so it's like these HD cameras, like, and we were talking about, they're like, these people walk into rooms and you notice them, right? You're like, what have you done?
Yeah.
And it's like, I hear that because you're like, because they're not doing it for the room. They're doing it for TV because there's so many more. They are preparing their ass or their teeth for an audience of millions instead of the audience of 10 they see every day.
It's like TV, if you go on a talk show, makeup, you can't really tell, I guess, if you're a guy, you wouldn't think, oh, he's wearing it. And then you see
sure.
them if they come from the taping and they just look bizarre.
Bizarre. Because yeah. they're playing at four lights that are TV or Instagram.
Well,
it is also a thing. You can tell when someone has never been on TV before because they just look like a fucking mangy dog.
It's kind of
like Nixon without makeup.
Yeah,
like that.
It's like they have no. You're like, you can see when someone hasn't prepared. Like when someone with bad teeth goes on TV, there it's like, how did this happen?
It's like why Trump looks bizarre with his like white raccoon eyes now. Have you seen the thing where he was trying to get a role in the like 2009 like sequel to the Wall Street movie?
Oh, really?
And they gave all these specifics like we need to light him with this orange glow at this way. Look at the apprentice boardroom. Oh, wow. And they were like, we're the makers of this. So he doesn't have that now when he's at like a press conference.
Yeah,
so
that's why Trump went from you'd see him certain light. And you're like, okay, this is, and now it's like, there's certain times you have to see him without the smoke and mirrors. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, this woman, she's beautiful. I mean, the bum gum competition, you want it to be done right. You want it done in the right way. It's you don't want any drugs being used, but
yeah, but stealing the sash is never the way of doing it. That's how you get disqualified. Yeah. You got to do it. You got to go in clean.
She better be right.
Yeah,
write
exactly.
A formal complaint.
Right.
Yeah, to the Bum Bum Association. Let it go through the proper channels, and then we'll discuss it with a tribunal.
I still think of Bum Bum as the cartoon Bumblebee with a huge ass.
Oh, is that what his name?
No, I don't think so. Oh. I'm just saying things to say. But like you were talking about with TV, like breast implants, they're great for cleavage. Mm. Sometimes terrible, like just if you see them without the thing. And it's like the veneers. You just see them on the TV. They look great, but in person.
Well, it's one of the, you're like, oh, that's what I must look like on TV.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't. You look ridiculous on TV. These people have prepared for TV. We look ridiculous on TV. They look ridiculous in the room.
Yeah.
That's
very true.
That's the trade-off you choose. You're either going to have the crazy ass on TV or you're going to have the normal ass in person.
They're more
on one or the other.
It's like being a stand-up comic and trying to be more comfortable on stage than you are in real life.
Yeah.
It's like very, like, I know I feel very natural on stage. Step off, and it's like, why are people talking to me? All these people I've been talking to for the past half an hour. Why are they so close as I'm walking into them?
Sure. It's just different. And you got to choose one lane or the other. And the Bum Bum competition, like, you see her on stage, and you're like, I don't even know if I could handle it. Shelby, any more news?
We do.
Let's do it.
You guys happy with how old you are? Would you be younger?
Would I be younger?
Would you be older?
I think I would. I'm cool with my age. I mean, if I was to like go back, I think I'd do it. What do you think?
Are you talking about redoing life or just being younger now?
Just your number that is your age.
The number that is I like my age, but like, I've had health problems. I'd like to be younger just to be healthier.
Mm.
Well, a 69-year-old man in wherever, what the hell is Dutch? What does that mean?
Deutschland. Dutch is Amsterdam.
Well, he lives in Amsterdam named Emil Rettelbrand. I said 69 years old. Was told by his doctor that he has the body of a man 20 years younger. And he is now trying to legally change his date of birth from March 11th, 1949 to March 11th, 1969.
Oh, my. So he's identifying as a different age is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah.
I
don't know what that does for him personally. Is he saying he wants, is that the words he's using, identify as whatever the age he wants to do?
He says his legal age affects his employment opportunities as well as his love life, and argues that if
I love that he put love life second, so it doesn't sound like he's just trying to get laid. He's like, it's my employment, but also I gotta get my dick sucked. Yeah,
but his physical health doesn't. Okay, well, 20 years of experience of not knowing technology and of extra knowledge from the world affects his life and career. Also,
well, he's saying that if he could go on a dating app and say he's 40 instead of 60,
which he can,
he'd be getting with more ladies. It's less creepy. And it's like, I mean, but this is the world we live in now. We have these laws that are made to help people in need. And then after they're made, the scammers come in to say, well, how can this help me?
This is like the opposite of dog years. It's like the actual year doesn't change. It's like a dog. It's like its lifespan is shorter. So the dog years are like it affects its age. He's just saying the year for him is longer.
Basically, he's saying that. Well, also, I like that he never looked for one second opinion. One doctor told him, yeah, you got the body of a... The doctor probably said it like half off and was like, yeah, you got the body of a 45-year-old. And he was like, well, the doctor said it. Doctor's orders. And he just went with it. He didn't go to another doctor. And they're like, no, you're fucking 68. You loser. You're done, old man.
He says, you can change your name. You can change your gender. Why not your age? Nowhere are you so discriminated against with your age.
I hate this guy so much. This is a extreme example of what's going on with everything right now. You saw it with ADD growing up. Remember when kids had ADD and then they figured out they could say that and then have untimed SATs?
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah. Remember that, Shelby?
See, I had ADD, but I was still timed.
Some people, there was this thing when I was in high school, all of a sudden you found out that if you had attention deficit disorder, you could now take an untimed SAT.
So you could just dawdle and stare at the wall, just play with
sit
your...
there and figure it out. And so all these people, all of a sudden, all these smart with it kids who were going to go to good schools, all of a sudden, I can't concentrate. And it's like they get in under the rule that other people need. People need to be able to identify as what they feel on the inside. And that is totally good and good for them. And so now, you know, Joe old guy over here has got to get in. Oh, I got an opportunity to try and get fucked on Tinder by saying I'm 40 instead of 80. And he's using it. You see it with the dog, the comfort dogs.
Oh, the
planes.
Emotional support dogs.
Yeah, some people.
I had a girlfriend who had one of those.
Did she need it?
Yes and no.
Here's
the thing. She got so used to it that she needed it after having
it. Of course, but if you need it, fine. Okay, I'll allow that. To me, that exists. I don't think that there. I could see that someone would be like, a dog makes me feel better on planes. Well, okay. Well, then you have to get the appropriately sized dog to fit you on planes.
Yeah.
You can't just use that excuse because you have a huge fucking dog that you don't want to have to pay to have someone watch it.
Well, it's a lot. And it's sometimes girls that just want to take a little dog to the bar or to a restaurant with them, too.
This is the thing. They don't want to have to get a sitter or have to, you know, put it in a kennel.
It's a class thing.
Well, this is what?
It can be a class thing.
It does seem to be rich people who use this.
Yeah.
It does seem, you know, if I'm going to look at it objectively, it does seem to be, also you don't see a lot of bad looking people with support dogs. Usually hot people.
I've seen some fatties.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I'm saying... No, yes, you're absolutely right.
But to
right.
my point is
it's
that...
It's like Paris Hilton's and stuff.
You've taken a rule, and now you've made those people feel badly because everyone looks at everyone who uses that rule as less than. This guy is hurting the cause of people. To me, this guy's hurting the cause of anyone who wants to identify as a different sexuality or different... or different gender.
Like that, okay.
He's hurting it by trivializing it with him trying to get laid to be 40.
I mean, he's saying where his body is, not necessarily where his mind is. And is he saying that anyone who has a more sick body should be considered older than they are?
This is
a child on the brink.
Is the inverse true?
Like,
could I say I identify as 65 and now I can get Social Security.
Yeah, I don't. Is there like that?
This is what he's saying.
Is there a near death 9-year-old who's like 99 in leukemia years out there? That's horrifying.
A thing. That's horrifying. And it's he's trivialized a whole group of people. It bothers me. Fuck this guy. FTG. Shelby, that's the news?
That is.
He wants that bum bum.
at Classic Shelb on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. Go follow, go support. Thank you, Shelby. Eric Bergstrom, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
At Eric
fun.
_ Bergstrom on Twitter, at Eric Bergstrom Rad on Instagram.
Or go just ericbergstrom.com.
Ericbergstrom.com, the album.
Eric with a K.
Eric with a K, sorry. Serious Goose, that's the album. Go find it. I have it on my Instagram. I'll post all the stuff. Thank you for coming. We're going to play a track from the album.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Stick around and listen to it. That's our episode. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
I went through chemo. Chemo sucked. Did 6 months of it. I had all the support of my friends and family. They were really happy that I had made it through and I was alive. And then I just remember looking out the window on the 23rd floor of the hospital, just knowing that I was all done, and thinking that that would be the most humorous time to kill myself. What a missed opportunity! Every depression since, and I just look back in shame.